Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560 in the third hour. And joining us right now is Harma Hartooni. Harma, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Oh, it's exciting to have you. By the way, is your book out yet, or is this still your forthcoming memoir, Getting Back Up, A Story of Resilience, Self-Acceptance, and Success?
Yes, it is out, and it's on Amazon, ready to be purchased.
Okay, because it said March 2021. I just didn't know. It seems like during COVID, everything is delayed, so I wanted to make sure. Okay, we got a few minutes here, so what I'd like you to do is first tell us a little bit about yourself, what you've been through, because you've been through, let's just say it, a hell of a life.
Yes, it's been challenging and rewarding.
All right, let's hear it.
I was born in LA, but I was 30 days old, moved to Iran, and grew up when Iran and Iraq war, and they were bombing pretty much every night, and then grew up at the age of 18. I had a car accident that I walked out of the car. Nothing happened to me, and I was waiting for another car. Hit me from the back, and my both legs broke.
Oh, my God. No, whoa, wait a minute. So you got in a car accident. You walk away from that. You're totally fine. And then you're standing outside it, and somebody hits you and breaks both your legs.
My first car got completely totaled. I was 18 years old, walked out, jumped from the back seat down, and I was just thinking, my dad will kill me once he finds out his car is totaled. And another car hit me, and my both legs broke.
I am so sorry, sir. I'm glad you're doing better now.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I was not supposed to walk, but I am hiking, working out, running, dancing. It's all good.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Continue on, sir.
And then I moved to the U.S. I was U.S. citizen, but I couldn't speak word of English. And we were Armenian Christian in Islamic country. So I was difficult in different part of it. You know, the people were beautiful people, but the government wasn't as easy.
Gotcha.
And moved here, and I thought I'm going to be a dentist or an attorney or an engineer. That's what you do in my culture. Otherwise, you are not successful. And I said, I'm just going to be an agent. And I was very broke, and I became a real estate agent, did well, and I had coaches, and I developed a business that is pretty strong, and I have 500 agents.
Yeah, but really quick here, Harma, I just want to say you're short-selling yourself a bit. You are not just a real estate agent. You're one of the hottest ones in the country.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's been rewarding, yes.
Yeah. What's it like? What's it like going from, let's face it, hell, okay, and coming to a place where you are now, you're over 500 agents, you're one of the hottest commodities in the country when it comes to real estate. Just looking back over that, what does that do for you?
I think the car accident basically allowed me to be born and have a new life. I think humans have two lives, right? The one they're born, and the second one is when they realize this life is the only life that and they have, and they need to live it through authentically and take the chances. And I think the accident allowed me to lose everything, what I had back home, and allowed me to come to a country that I can actually build what I want. So I didn't know, if you asked me this even 20 years ago when I moved here, this is what you're going to have. I would have not believed it. But I am, I will say that what I have done in my last 20 years back home, with the way I was growing up with all the challenges has completely shaped my current behavior. And I never had an option to be a victim, because it's like those, you take the boats to an island and you burn the boats. You have no choice. I had no choice to survive and build something for myself, because there was no boats to take me back. And this was it. And I had to build something. And that's, I think, helped me a lot, because I didn't have a false hope.
Okay, let me ask you this, Harma, because let's face it, this comes down to a choice, right? We don't control what happens to us. We control our response to it in every situation and with our lives. And so, and when people go through that devastating kind of an experience like you went through, or they lose somebody very close to them, basically, they come to a crossroads, and you're going to have a bunch of people who let it demolish the rest of their lives, and they plunge themselves into bitterness and blame, or they're going to choose the other way, go your way, and let's face it, build a whole new life, and let that tragedy shape them into something greater. What made you choose that way rather than the other?
I was responsible for other people's lives.
Oh,
so
it was all on, it was on your shoulders.
I literally had to go buy bread and bring food to the table so my brother and sister can eat that day, because I made them move after I moved. I was responsible, and I was determined that we're not going back. We're not going back to what we went through. It was hell, as you said. And if you read the book, you will understand a lot more. And I was determined that if I cause this, and if I'm not going to go to school, I'll make sure they have a better life. And my mom doesn't have to go back to go through what she went through. And yes, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody has challenges. Why some will decide to stay on the same challenge and not move forward. The best analogy I will say that, you can keep reading your last chapter over and over, or flip the page and write a new chapter. It's a choice. Or you can just stay on and just not do anything about it, but then you can't blame in anyone else. I literally didn't have the luxury of have the opportunity to blame or tell anyone what happened. I literally had to make sure we move forward. So I think it's not a positively way, but I'm very grateful that I didn't have that opportunity to sit down and cry over it. That's why in my book, I talk about the 5 minutes funeral, that get over it, you know, cry over whatever happened. You have a business that sometimes every business is challenged, get over it, learn from it, and move on.
Harma, before we get the information on your book, 'cause I want everyone to hear how they can find your book. Okay. Let me ask you this. What does it do for you to look at a world, and let's just say a nation, America, that is so full of blamers and shamers, people who don't see the joy, who don't see the value in suffering, who don't see how it can make you into a better person and launch you forward in life? You've been launched forward. You used it. What does it do to see so many people who don't?
I don't know if I can answer, but what does it do? It makes me, first I start thinking how grateful I am that I kind of got raised somewhere else and I came back, because if I was part of this from the beginning, maybe I wouldn't even appreciate either. And I think the success has no sweet taste if you haven't gone through hell. And sweeter it gets when you have more hell. And I hope people don't have to go through hell to have a success, but there is no success that just is given. The process, the journey is where I think it's success, not the end result. So if you think when you're challenged and you are having something goes against you, you think, poor me, and this shouldn't happen to you, just look around. There are people there have my talent, but they're in a country. They can't be who they are. They cannot do what they want to do. They don't even have that voice. We are literally somewhere that you can be who you are, and you can be influenced by others or influence others. So I chose to not. I just going to tell you this quickly.
Yeah.
I moved here and I was washing the car. It was like 2-3 weeks into it, And everybody was like, you know, when you move here, you go get food stamps. And I didn't know what food stamp meant. Like, I really didn't know. And I was washing the car, and the guy next to me says, oh, when did you move here? I said, 2 weeks ago. And he goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to get food stamp. And I don't know who this guy is, but I wrote about him. And he said, there's two type of people. If you take food stamp, you're not going to be able to help others. You either help others or get help. And I said, I am determined to help others. And nothing is wrong to get one, because I did it to survive. But I was determined to get out of that. And this is the only place that I think no other country will have this. I grew up, I've been so many places. And I am so glad that Angel, whoever he was, told me right when I moved here. And I got out of that cycle, and that's it. I don't know how to else explain.
that's enough. Oh, Arma, let me just tell you something. You know, the last few days, a lot of people have been talking and buzzing about, what is it, Harry and Meghan, I guess, with the royal couple. I forget.
Correct.
I forget all their names. But seeing Correct. Them sit down, two people who have literally everything, seeing mm-hmm. them sit down and talk to somebody named Oprah, who also has literally everything. And by the way, she should. She earned it. Okay. But you've got these people who have everything whining and moaning about how helpless they are in the situation they are in. And here you were, somebody who had nothing and said, I'm not helpless. And you became, let's face it, you became one of the hottest young commodities when it comes to selling homes in the country. I salute you. You mm-hmm. have made America in your life exactly what America was meant to be in everyone's lives. And to help other people understand how, I want people to know how to find your book, sir.
It's on Amazon, called Getting Back Up. It's the cover page is me, with the bottom of the page is my legs broken with the cast, and on top I'm with a suit with at work. And you can also visit me at harmahartouni.com. My email is info@harmahartouni.com. I personally respond. I'm happy to hear your story and help anyone out there. And the book can be purchased on my website as well.
One last thing. For everybody here, spell your name so they can find you more easily.
You're not the first one to ask me that. H-A-R-M-A. And the last name is H-A-R-T-O-U-N, like Nancy, I. Like Karma Cartoony, you just at an age, so it becomes Harma Hartini.
Fantastic, sir. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and
thanks, Andy.
Thank you for coming to America and making it a better place for all of us.
I appreciate you having me.
You
thank
take
you
care.
So
have,
much.
Have a great
thank
day. You. All right, folks, next up is American National Insurance. For all your insurance needs, give Paul Leuenberger a call. He'll sit down with you, go over your existing policies, and see if you have the right coverage. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Give Paul a call at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket, so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
All right, a good shop is up next. Folks, bad weather is coming, and I hate to say this, but no matter how well you drive, the other driver might not be so careful. So in case of an accident, have this number handy, 720-541-7697. Don't let an insurance company send you to their shop. You're in control here. Call a good shop at 720-541-7697. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
You don't need to schedule an appointment or drive anywhere for a free estimate from a good shop. Other than the actual collision itself, scheduling an estimate might be the most stressful part of auto body work because you don't have time for it. You're already worried about how much the repairs will cost. You're worried about how long your vehicle will be out of commission and you still need to figure out whether or not you should make an insurance claim because you're worried about your premiums going up. Al Sturm, owner of A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, has always looked to the future, providing new, different, and better services than the corporate conglomerates. Click on the mobile estimate button at klzradio.com/collision and enter your phone number to start taking photos for your free virtual estimate from A Good Shop, certified collision repair worth referring. Mention KLZ Radio in your estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we've got Jersey Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good. I haven't had a chance to do that for a while, not for a week. So, you know.
I know. You couldn't resist.
I could not resist. By the way, we were talking, you missed it. We were talking on Monday about opening doors for women. And I said, That's great. It's nationwide. Everybody does it, except in New Jersey, it's a trunk. I thought you would appreciate that.
I would appreciate that, yes.
How's it going, sir?
Good. Well, actually, yeah, I've been tied up. You know, your comment about gun controls, and one thing, I don't know if you read my letter, but, you know, I wanted to buy a box of ammunition here in New Jersey, and it turns out I have to get fingerprinted and get a firearm owner's identification card.
Whoa. Fingerprinted?
Fingerprint, I have to get before I can buy a box of ammunition, 22 caliber ammunition, I have to get acquire a firearm owner's identification card, which starts off with a $100 fingerprint process, and then I fill out an application, and I have to list several references, and it goes through the state police. And assuming it's approved the first time, if I want to then buy a gun at a later date, every time I do this, I have to submit another application to gun-specific application if I want to buy another gun. Now, which it seems insane because the state police are the ones who process your background check form at the time of purchase, so they would know if my firearm owner's identification card has been revoked or not. So why do I have to submit the form a second time since they're the one? If it's been revoked, they're going to deny my background check. But, yeah, and let me tell you how absurd it is. I don't know if you know what a concrete nail gun is. It's something you put a blank in, you put a nail in, and you hit it with a hammer, and it drives the concrete. Now, it can't shoot the nail across the street. It's simply you hold it tight to the wall, you hit it with a hammer, and the blank cartridge. If I want to go to Home Depot and buy a box of 22 blanks for my nail gun, they won't sell it to me unless I have a firearm owner's identification card.
Tell me, Joe, how large is the chip they put in your head to track you with your gun?
I don't know, because I don't go down to the police station to pick up my permit for a couple of weeks after they tell me it's been approved. And let me tell you how ludicrous this is.
Yeah.
It takes me 15 minutes to drive over the bridge over the Delaware River, and I can buy all the ammunition I want from any gun store in Pennsylvania without showing any form of ID whatsoever. So how pointless and meaningless is it to make me get a firearm owner's identification card to buy ammunition in New Jersey? All you're doing is creating a black market. When the New York City raised the taxes on a pack of cigarettes to $10, the criminal said, yes, go make it 20. I mean, the same thing with ammunition. The harder you make it to buy ammunition in New Jersey, all you're going to do is establish a thriving black market. Now, let me talk. Your other guest talked about the federal bill.
Yeah.
You already have that bill in Colorado. Do you know in Colorado if my neighbor who has an arsenal of guns, he's got what liberals call assault rifles, he's got 15-round pistols, but he doesn't have an elk rifle. So if he wanted to borrow my 5-shot bolt-action elk rifle, technically under Colorado law, we would have to go down and go through a background check form for me to loan him my 5-shot bolt-action elk rifle for the weekend, even though he has guns in his home that are far deadlier than my 5-shot bolt-action elk rifle.
That is crazy.
Neighbor,
go ahead,
who has pistols and, quote, assault rifles, if he wanted to borrow my over-under shotgun to go pheasant hunting because he doesn't have a shotgun for pheasants, same thing. Under Colorado law and under the proposed federal law, he'd have to have a background check before I could loan him my double-barreled shotgun for the weekend.
Nation where we're told we have the right to defend ourselves.
Defend ourselves and to keep and bear arms. Now, here's a question for you. You won't understand how this is going, but How many minutes in an hour, do you want to guess? How many minutes in a year, rather?
I have no clue.
540,000 minutes in an hour, in a year, rather. Now,
okay.
The reason I ask that question, in the United States, there is a home burglary once every 18 seconds. Let's call it three times a minute. In approximately one-third of American homes, on average, have one or more guns in them. So if there's 500,000 minutes in a year, that means at least 500,000 guns are being stolen. And those guns are quickly being stolen and resold on the street, typically for drug money at a deep discount. There's a special called The Guns of Chicago by a female reporter. And she was on the streets of Chicago. She was down the ghetto, and she's asking these guys. They're all 16, 17-year-old. They're all packing semi-automatic guns. They've all got their faces in bandanas. And she asked one of the guys, how tough is it to get a gun? And he tells her, 30 minutes and $30. Do you want one? Now, no criminal... No criminal goes to a gun show. And by the way, if a gun dealer is, the liberal myth is you can buy a gun at a gun show without a background check. No. If you're a licensed firearms dealer, you have to conduct a background check on every gun
right.
you sell, regardless of where the sale takes place. And there's no exception for the gun show.
Yeah, the gun show loophole is ridiculous.
Is a myth.
Doesn't exist.
And you don't find private sellers renting $400 tables to sell two guns. It doesn't happen. I've been to dozens of gun shows. I've never seen a private seller offering guns for sale at a gun show. But anyway, but that means there's roughly 500,000 guns stolen in this country every year. And the Department of Justice has a study that backs that up. Those guns are quickly resold on the street at a deep discount for drug money. Why would anybody go to a private seller and pay full retail, even a used Glock? Retail is going to be at least $300,
yeah.
Maybe $350. If I can buy a stolen gun for $50 or $60, why am I going to, if I'm a criminal, why am I going to spend $300 on a full retail from a private seller?
Well, and Joe, I mean, you're making an incredible point. All these people who commit crimes can get guns cheaply, and yet government is putting more and more and more and more hoops and money between me and a gun to defend myself against all of them.
Yes, and keeping the gun locked up, this safe storage bill that's floating around, they don't want you to have a loaded gun. Now, I've had loaded guns in my home for 50 years, I think. And yes, when I've had children in the home, the guns get locked away or
sure.
the bedroom door gets locked. I've never, and any responsible gun owner I know, never allows a child access, to a loaded gun. That's just crazy. But it's not been a problem. But there can never be enough gun laws for liberals. They will take one incident that happened one place, one time, and say, we need a law to fix this so that it never happens again. Well, you can't do it. There's no such thing as never happens again. But they'll find any excuse to come up. Well, by the way, in New York State now, do you know that if you inherit a gun from your grandfather, if you're 45 years old, your grandfather passed away, and in his will he says, I want Andy to have my shotgun that I got from my father. Upon receipt of that shotgun, you have to register that shotgun with the state of New York that you now own that shotgun. I'm serious.
You know, we got to head out here, Joe, but let me say something. You're saying about, what will never, ever happen again. Let me tell you what's never going to happen again. Someone calling from New Jersey on the lawful, responsible use of firearms. You are a one-timer, sir.
A one-timer. All right, Andy. Maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Let's talk to you tomorrow. Take care, sir. Okay, let's take a time out, and we'll come right back on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need.
take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Flesh and Beck is up next. I know what you're thinking. Something's gone wrong, maybe a car accident, but you can't afford a good lawyer. No, folks, you can't afford not to have a good one. And Kevin Flesh works on a contingency basis. He doesn't get paid unless you get paid. So get yourself a great lawyer with Kevin Flesh. That's F-L-E-S-C-H. Call Flesh and Beck at 303-806-8886 or go to fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. We are awaiting a call from Liz Mayer on her weekly call. Until then, I want to talk a little bit about media spin. You know, I'm a messaging guy. We always talk about media spin. How do they spin things? I mean, they're just giving us the news. It's got to be honest, right? It's got to be something I can trust. No, it doesn't have to be something you can trust. Let me give you a couple examples. First of all, the CDC study came out, COVID-19, more prevalent in children than originally thought. And I'm not going to bore you with some of the story because it's ludicrous. The fact is, it's not that much more prevalent. They were talking about infection rates amongst children. They weren't talking about the fact that it doesn't harm them hardly at all. One moment here. Have a little noise here in the background. Don't want to, that. There we go. Okay. But now listen to this part. The findings released Thursday also show Hispanic and Black children infection rates were 2.4 to 4.3 times higher, respectively, higher than the rate for white children. Okay, so what are they trying to do? They're trying to basically say that this is a racist disease, or it's because of our racist country that isn't, it's protecting white people. Oh, yes, all of us white people, we're all behind walls. We're all completely separated from the disease. We're safe, but we don't care about people who have darker skin, and we're making sure that they get it more. Yeah. Okay. Here's what they don't tell you. People of color, on average, have much larger families. That's why we're seeing such a demographic shift in our country. All right? Follow that for a moment. Now, why is that important? Because outside of nursing homes, which are the number one place where transmission occurs, hello, New York, hello, New Jersey, but outside of those places, the other number one place that you see transmission occur, folks, it's not at that restaurant you go to. It's not at Sam's Club where everybody is wearing masks and jumping back from each other in fear. It's in the home. It's in the home where people are getting this disease. Why? Because that's where they get all diseases, right? Every parent will tell you, oh my gosh, my kid brought home the crud from school. Every time somebody gets something in a family, because they are all, not just are they close to each other in close proximity, but they're touching all the same stuff constantly. Well, when you talk about that and you realize that Black families on average and Hispanic families on average are much larger and have far more kids than white families. It's true. White people have a lot fewer kids than Black and Hispanic people. Doesn't matter to me. I love Black and Hispanic people having kids. I think it's fantastic. I'm just saying that is a cultural reality. So if those groups are having way more kids, and if virtually all transmission that is not happening in nursing homes is happening in the family, where do you think it's going to happen? Now, buried in the story, they later say this. Roughly 23% of the samples from Hispanic children showed antibodies. By the way, that's a good thing. That means they've had COVID. Now they can't, they're not going to spread it. They're not going to have it. Moving on. While 13% of the samples from Black children did. Folks, hello. Who on average has the largest families? What is the fastest growing demographic in the country? Hispanic. What is the second fastest? Black people. Which is great. Wonderful. Okay. And then they said only about 5% of the samples from white children tested positive. Yes. Why? They're isolated. They're much more isolated. Those white children don't have five kids who are their siblings at their home. So you're going to have that much less of a chance of spreading the disease. Does that make sense? Once again, spin. So they put out, this comes from the CDC study, right? They put out this thing, a bunch of left-wing bureaucrats trying to basically tell us that we're not protecting this group and we're not protecting that group. No, folks, it's a virus. It's spreading on its own, and it's going to spread faster where? It's going to spread faster in the home, in places where you have more people in the home, and that's why those numbers are what they are. Okay. Now, here's the next thing. China, in February, the exports, they post this record surge from COVID-19 depressed 2020 levels. Okay. Once again, spin. Hidden in this story is this line. Strong exports, which benefited from China's success in largely containing the public health crisis, have helped fuel the country's recovery from a pandemic-induced paralysis. Dun, 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 dun. So China, my gosh, everything they're doing is so wonderful. Everything they're doing is so great. Oh my gosh, if we could just be more like China and we could kick this, you know, COVID habit and we would be fine. Here's the thing, folks. Here's what they're not telling you once again. China has a lot of herd immunity. Hello? Do you honestly believe the numbers that have come out of China in terms of how many people have had it and how many people have died? I don't. They've probably hidden a ton of deaths several times over, quite possibly. I've heard reports that their deaths could be 2-3 times what they've been putting out. When you have a nation where this, by the way, you have a lot of large families in China who are in the same household. Although, let's face it, in certain sectors of China, they've said you can only have so many kids, so it doesn't go that way. But China already had this virus. They were first to have it, right? And it moved through big time, right? So more of them got it, more of them died, and it went through, and they're done. They haven't done anything more brilliant or spectacular to overcome COVID. They had it first. And they had it worst. And now they have a thing called herd immunity. It's probably really hard to catch COVID right now in China. And now their economy's bouncing back. Yes, I'm sure it is. They would be incredibly stupid if it weren't. They would have to fail to an incredible degree. Spin, 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 spin. So once again, folks, I know I say it all the time, but I just want to give you a couple examples. Don't believe the media. It's not that they don't report what's happening. It's how they report what's happening. One thing tells you, coming right out from your CDC, that, oh my goodness, in this community, you know, Black and Hispanic community, kids are getting it far more. Why are they getting it? They don't tell you. See what I'm saying? And then they talk about China doing everything right. In both cases, when you take an honest look at the numbers, you realize they're lying to you. Why? Because it's what they do. They have a lot of fun doing it. And frankly, they don't respect you. Here at Rush to Reason, we do. So you just got the truth. Now, another place to get the truth is Affordable Interest Mortgage with Kurt Rogers. If you want to improve your home, you'll need money. And with interest rates right now, that money is cheap. Call Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage. He'll get the cash you need and probably lower your rates as well. Call Kurt at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Franktown Firearms is next. And right now, the wait times are short, ammunition is well stocked. Ask about KLZ discounts and call one of the easiest numbers ever to remember. It is 720-770-7777 or find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of
and
safety.
And I'm done.
Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/franktown. Confidence through practice.
Going into the showroom at Purefoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purefoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purefoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now from Heritage is Sarah Perry. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Hey, there was a near unanimous Supreme Court decision that actually went right. Am I correct?
Yes, it did, actually. It's a mouthful. The case is Uzi Bunham versus Peshevsky. And this is the case of two former Gwinnett College, Georgia Gwinnett College students who were trying to exercise their religious liberty. They were trying to share their religious beliefs in a public square on campus. And not once, but twice, these students were told that they could not express their religious perspectives. Once, because they didn't have the appropriate permit as required. And the second time, one of the students was told that his speech was in violation of a campus policy for, quote, disturbing the peace and comfort of others, end quote.
Wow.
But this is actually, this is a case that was seemingly insignificant from a constitutional perspective, because if you read it at first glance, it looks like a civil procedure case. The question in the case was about standing, one of the three elements that are necessary for standing or the ability to sue includes what's called redressability. In other words, is the court's decision likely to address the injury? And in this case, the plaintiffs charged nominal damages, very, very small damages, in addition to injunctive relief. By the time the case had gotten to the Supreme Court, the question was very narrow, and this was a very short decision. It was only 10 pages. It was Justice Clarence Thomas writing for the majority with a single dissent. That was Justice Roberts, and he had a very fiery dissent. But the ultimate holding was that even if it's hard to quantify violation of a constitutional right, our legal history tells us that we don't want constitutional rights to be any less important than economic rights. If we would award a dollar for lost bus fare in traveling to a speech zone, then we would certainly award a dollar for violation of the constitutional right itself. So this is actually a very significant case.
Okay. And what else do we really get from this? And by the way, I cannot understand why Justice Roberts does much of what he does, much less this case. Why would you disagree with this?
You know, it's interesting because this is a case of such a strange ideological alignment. You have eight justices. These are justices that run the gamut of their perspective, their
right.
judicial forms of interpretation. And then you have the sole dissenter in Roberts, and his dissent was extremely fiery. Now, this is only the sole dissent for Roberts since he joined the court in 2005.
Right. So he's almost remarkable. Always the 5 and the 5-4.
Absolutely. So this isn't just the fact that it was so fiery, but the fact that it was his first sole dissent since he joined the court. But he essentially said, listen, we've relegated this high court to nothing more than an advice column. Every time a plaintiff tacks on a dollar, we have to recognize it. And that seems to be a expansive approach to judicial power. So he had a real problem with it, but he was actually retorted by Justice Thomas, who said that, listen, if we're going to recognize a dollar for economic injury, then we have to recognize a dollar for a constitutional right violation. Just because we cannot tack on a tidy sum like we would in, for example, a breach of contract case, does not mean it's any less important. This was a violation of a constitutionally guaranteed right. So it's a very interesting case because Roberts was so passionate in his dissent, but clearly the bulk of the Supreme Court agreed with Justice Clarence Thomas. And I think that bodes well for interpretation of free speech rights and free exercise of religious liberty going forward, particularly as far as college campuses are concerned.
Oh, I totally agree, Sarah. And, you know, just for a second, I don't want to spend too much time on him, but just for a second, getting back to Justice Roberts, it's getting to the point where I am starting to become convinced all this guy cares about is his view of the Supreme Court and what that Supreme Court should achieve or not achieve. All he cares about is how the court looks, and he doesn't seem to care about the cases that much. He doesn't seem to care about what is actually happening to this person, this person, this person. What is actually happening in this law, this law, this law? And more importantly, what's right and wrong in this? I mean, it all started with Obamacare and what he did on that, which was just, he basically rewrote one side's case for them to rescue them. so that he could rescue Obamacare, because basically he was saying, I just don't think the court should be in the position of taking, you know, overturning something like Obamacare. Dude, all we care about is right and wrong based on the law. He doesn't seem to even care. Am I being too harsh?
No, I think there are many jurists and constitutional legal scholars who would agree with you, Andy, because he does seem to be preoccupied with the notion of what the Supreme Court ought to be doing and finds himself sometimes straining for outcomes that aren't supported by what he's bound to do, which is interpret the laws as they are written. And as Bostock tells us, the big case, as you know, recognizing sexual orientation and gender identity in anti-discrimination law in Title VII of last year, which fundamentally changed employment law, set up the Equality Act, as we know, which is just now in the Senate. We made very clear, and the court was very clear, that, listen, we don't look to intent. We're looking to the text itself. We're looking to the law.
Yes.
We're not looking to what the Supreme Court ought to do or what would be an ideal function for the high court. Instead, we are simply bound to interpret the law as it's written.
You see, it just seems to me that this guy wants the Supreme Court to be an activist court in terms of not being activist. And what I mean is this: he doesn't want them stepping in to stop anything, you know, in terms, even if it's wrong.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Yes, absolutely, Andy. And I think there are some people who would say that he does eschew legally controversial issues. Naturally, we know that a case like Bostock, while the opinion was written by Justice Gorsuch, Roberts has proven himself to be, in many of these cases, the swing vote, and seems to find opportunities not to address questions of a sort of social policy nature, questions that are critically important to the national dialogue right now. And I think this is a case that was one of them. He is more concerned here in the Ozzie Bunham case with whether or not the Supreme Court ought to get involved, as opposed to what the common law says about the importance of constitutional rights and the fact that while we cannot adjudicate them according to necessarily a dollar amount, if it's a dollar, but you have a completed violation of the First Amendment,
yes,
which the plaintiffs did here, that is sufficient for taking up the question. That is something that one would think this ought to have been a unanimous decision on. But again, I think Roberts shows us that he does eschew what could be deemed to be hotly contested social issues when they come before the court.
Oh, for crying out loud, you've got Elena Kagan coming down on the side of free speech. Elena, yes. I got to say the words again. Elena Kagan. Okay,
yes.
It's coming down on the side of these religious people simply wanting to share their views. In a case like that, well, never mind. He's driving me nuts. I don't think this guy, all he cares about is the role of the court in his eyes, what he thinks the court should be. Not at all what the case is. Look, if a free speech case comes before you, judge it in according to the constitutionality of the free speech.
Right.
Same with Second Amendment, Third, whatever. It doesn't matter. Really quick here, because we got a couple minutes left. What is the impact of this decision going forward? After you've let me gush enough about Roberts. Thank you. You are more patient with me than some people would be. So thank you very much.
Well, I was actually going to say, listen, the impact of this decision in Ozzie Bunham versus Prochefsky is wide ranging, particularly for universities that are increasingly hostile to the exercise of free speech by their student bodies, particularly when those are conservative or religious perspectives that are being expressed. In fact, the campus prohibition on anything other than what was a very tiny free speech zone. Andy, less than 1% of the total campus was considered a free speech zone, is in and of itself suspect. But beyond that, you're going to have, I believe, a lot of universities who are taking public money that are now going to have to look at their own speech policies, their own administration of constitutional rights for their own student body, and realize that if so much as a dollar can be waged but the other standing arguments, the other standing elements are met. That's sufficient to bring a student who's complaining into the court. And I'm hoping that that proves to be a situation where we've got the brakes pumped a little bit on what's clearly an increasingly hostile environment in public education to the expression of religious and conservative ideals. That constitutional right does not change, even if you don't like it.
Okay, we got about a half minute here. Can you tell me, before we get to your article, can you tell me, do you see conservatives and Christian groups jumping on this and pressing it going forward?
Absolutely, I do. ADF brought the case. They have an incredible win record over at Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm really hoping that conservatives find this as an opportunity to provide a jumping off point, not only in the administration that they do themselves within their organizations, their advocacy, but those Christians, those conservative students themselves. I hope this emboldens them to be more open about expressions of their faith and their potentially non-popular political or social opinions, because now the Supreme Court has put every university that accepts federal funding on notice that a dollar is enough to bring the case.
Sarah Perry, I can't think of anyone more than you that people should go to find out how to defend their rights. How do they learn more about you and your writings at Heritage?
You can go to heritage.org/Sarah Perry. You can find my bio, some of my workings and writings, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Sarah P. Perry.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sir. Ma'am, you have a great night. I was looking at a sir that my producer here. Sarah,
Andy.
Have a great night. Take care. And that'll do it for today, folks. National Crawford Roundtable is up next. Until tomorrow, drive safe, God bless, and thanks for joining us at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.